That's the sound of Vince Catalica, a hot jazz clarinet player on the West Coast for more than 50 years. First inspired by Benny Goodman and Artie Shaw, during his half-century career in music, he performed alongside some of the top names in jazz. I welcome to Jazz Rhythm, an exploration of the lore, culture, and personalities of early jazz. I'm Dave Radlauer. Around the time I interviewed him in 1994, Vince Catalica was just retiring. He paused then to reminisce with me and tell some stories about his years in music.
The day of the Rounder is really, really gone.
The Rounder's a customer that had a few things going on the side, you know what I mean? A couple of women going on the side.
Uh-huh. Or a gambler, maybe?
Gambler, and they were tremendous horse players. And they used to come in and just, drop $5 for any old thing, ace in the hole. By the time I got out of school, it was $5. Can you play Begin the Beguine like Artie Shaw? Because, see, that record came out July of 38. Musicians really played Rounder's tunes. Lulu's Back in Town, Sonny Boy. These are late tunes. I'm in the 30s, but they had, The Doll Dance, Nola. All these things were 20s tunes. Sweet Lorraine. And the clarinet players, saxophone players, drummers, the trios were playing behind these singers or strippers. And they got a wage, but they also got tips. And as I understand it, they hauled off and split everything every night. That was a loyal thing between all the girls and the guys.
Sex Appeal, a tune recorded by the Benny Goodman Sextet in 1940. And that's my interview guest, Vince Catalica, on clarinet in a private recording session from 1993 with the Molasses Brothers. More of that Jazz Rhythm exclusive later. In this hour, saluting Vince, we'll hear him in lots of rare and one-of-a-kind performances as he describes the Wild West Coast nightlife of the 1940s and 50s and shares his thoughts on the role of clarinet in ensemble jazz. Welcome, Vince. Good to have you here.
It's good to be here. I'll tell a few of my stories.
Great. Vince is an outstanding clarinet and reed player who's been performing in the San Francisco Bay Area for, 40, 50 years, Vince?
Since June of 1943.
And you were born and raised in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, I was born in San Francisco. I was born on Powell Street, and they brought me over to my flat where I'm living now when I was a year old. Most of my life has been spent in that flat, and I'm 70 years old.
Your official retirement was December 31st, 1993?
That's right, yeah. I've done it before, but this time it's for real.
Any particular reason?
Well, mostly physical condition, a little bit of arthritis in the hands, maybe the lack of hearing something that I should be hearing, and I get tired of standing pretty fast now. Well, I walk about an hour and a half a day, but just standing throws me off. And I felt I was playing pretty good, but some of the things I was doing disturbed me, and I started to figure all this out last September. So I told LaVey Smith, and that's the lady I worked for, and Mal Sharp. I was playing in a band over there with him, and I told both of them, I said, this is it, I want out. And I went till the end of the year with LaVey Smith, but Mal let me out within a couple of weeks.
You want to tell us about Jack Sheedy?
Yes, I can tell you a great deal about Jack Sheedy. I started rehearsing with him January of 1949. This was a Dixieland band. This was Jack Sheedy, trombone and leader Jack Minger, cornet, Vince Catalica, clarinet.
Was Sheedy from New Orleans?
No, Sheedy was, I think, from the state of Washington, and ended up here because he was an ensign in the Navy, you know, type thing.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, as gradually these men, as they got out, they just stayed where they got out.
Mm-hmm.
And so he organized this band, and I'll tell you a story about that. We made these four sides in May of 1949. We got a job in a place called The Hangover. You're familiar with that.
Here in San Francisco.
In San Francisco on Bush Street. And we started to play there three nights a week. Then we, by around 3 weeks, we ended up playing five nights a week. By a couple of weeks after that, we were playing six nights a week. Now, during this time, a washing machine salesman by the name of Jerry Hecker convinced Doc that he should bring in some of the New York boys.
You're speaking of Doc Doherty, the owner of the
That's
club
right,
hangover.
Doc Doherty. I wanted to get his name out, but you got it. That's right. And he brought in on a Sunday night Albert Nicholas,
oh boy,
Schmidt Schmitty, his trombone player from Bob Crosby's band, and Wild Bill Davidson.
Oh boy.
They were the front line, you know, and I was not quite 30 years old, totally blind, and realizing that I had made it because we really packed the place six nights a week. I think we have to give Doc credit, Doc Doherty,
mm-hmm,
for opening that place, because he started bringing in all these stars, and Doc ran it from April of 1949 to August of 1961.
Now, didn't you play with Hines a couple of times at Club Hangover?
I played just some casuals with Hines, but I didn't play the Hangover.
Oh, I see.
They got a job for us in San Jose at a club for 2 weeks. We played there and then came back to the Hangover for 4 weeks. And after that, we were given our two-week notice, union two-week notice. And then Doc brought in, Charlie LaVere, all of them. You've heard them all.
Yeah, the whole list.
The whole works, including Louie and Jack Teagarden. And I never played there after that. I went in there after that to hear Henry Red Allen, and then I went in there to hear Buddy DeFranco.
Is Sheedy still alive? Are you in contact with him at all, or what do you know of his what he's doing these days?
Well, he lives in New York City and had a stroke, mild stroke. He can talk.
What was he doing before his stroke, though? Was he He was playing music?
He was playing music in New York, rehearsing, trying to learn to read better, trying to improve his playing. He was basically retired. He was a school teacher.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He got a degree, not a degree, a scholarship, a couple, 2 years of scholarship at Stanford.
Anything else you can tell us about the Sheedy Band? Did you go to L.A. at all? Because he was active in L.A., wasn't he, for a while?
I can only tell you that I went to L.A. See, we were working, everybody worked strip joints. We all worked what they call the tenderloin. But
in San Francisco here?
Yeah, uh-huh. But the tenderloin was not like it is now at all. You could walk out with three girls on any given night, drunker than all get out, and nobody disturbed you in this city. You could walk the whole city blindfolded, and at that time, nobody would disturb you.
A lot of the pleasures were available, but without the dangers.
Oh, absolutely, yes, absolutely, yeah. But one of the bands I played with was a guy by the name of Chuck Travis.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to ask you about Chuck.
Yeah, saxophone player. This is how we went to L.A. We were playing a place called the Chez Paris. We went in there in October 1944. I had played already on Turk Street. I started on Turk Street, and in January, I went into the same band. We went into a place called The Backstage. That was a prominent jazz club here, and I must stay on that. That was a big jazz club in San Francisco. Anyway,
what was the name of it again?
Called the Backstage.
Backstage.
It was on Powell Street, and on O'Farrell Street was Slapsy Maxie's. Rosenblum, the fighter, he had a club there, and big names came there too, upstairs, because I played downstairs. We played two tenors, Chuck and I, and a girl by the name of Violet Trent, Cousino, who became a disc jockey. He was a drummer. We played for strippers at the Chez Paris.
It was down in old Joe's barroom.
Man, that's a dismal spot.
In a corner by the square.
Persian Square, Los Angeles, Joe.
Drinks were served as usual.
Kerosene and milk.
And a goodly crowd was there.
Yeah, some 5-6 people.
When up stepped old Joe McGinney.
That guy's a mess.
His eyes were bloodshot red.
Close them, Joe, before you bleed to death.
He said, listen here, Pops. Listen to my story.
Well, I'm listening, boy.
And this is just what he said.
Well, get on with it.
I went down to St. James Infirmary.
Man, that's a pest house.
Saw my baby there.
That's a fine, mellow chick.
She was stretched out on a long white table.
Looking very, very beautiful.
So pale, so cold, so fair.
I recognized her by the strawberry birthmark.
Went up to see the doctor.
An old man with a long beard.
She's mighty low, he said.
Lower than a mole.
Went back to see my baby.
Still fine, fine.
Good Lord, she was lying there dead. When I die, I want you to bury me.
As usual under the circumstances.
Let the chorus girls sing this song.
Someone should.
Have a jazz band play on my coffin.
Jay Sheedy's Dixieland band.
Raising much fuss as we roll along.
Hallelujah, brother, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Now that you've heard my story,
long and dull it was,
let's order up another round of booze.
Grandma Moses brand mash.
Anyone should happen to ask you,
no one will.
I've got those dying gamblers blues.
Jack Sheedy's Dixieland Jazz on the Rare Cornet label. That was Gambler's Blues. Earlier in the set, Down in Jungletown. And you're listening to a conversation with Vince Catalica, who played clarinet on the West Coast and particularly in San Francisco for 50 years. This is Dave Radlauer with you for Jazz Rhythm. Still ahead, more from Jack Sheedy's Dixieland Jazz. Vince with Jimmy Diamond and Jerry Butson, and Vince featured with the Molasses Brothers. In this next set, we'll hear more from Jack Sheedy, Blues in the Night, and two of the Jimmy Diamond Jazz Band recorded live in 1983 and 84, featuring Vince Catalica and trombonist Jerry Butson.
I went to Los Angeles, and there was a lot of furor. My older brother said, go to Los Angeles. You know, you're making $85 a week. Your unemployment's being taken out. Your Social Security, you know, you're making a good wage, although we work 6 hours. Mm-hmm. We worked from 4 to 12. They closed the bars then. That's 8 hours. It was all union then, but I'm speaking about the Chez Paris, mm-hmm. where we played for the strippers. So we went to Los Angeles, and we played all kinds of clubs. When we were down in Los Angeles, they had jam session night. So I got up and played opposite Bonnie Brugard.
Oh, boy.
And that's the first time I ever felt what they call an Albert System clarinet.
Yes.
It has 17 keys and 6 rings.
Uh-huh.
These plain Albert, I think, only have about 11 keys, mm-hmm. and 5 rings. But see, my clarinet has alternates. There's no alternates on an Albert System. But the clarinet, the BAM system, 17 plain BAM system clarinet, you can play in the left hand, and you can also play it in the right hand. Okay.
So you can achieve the same notes with several different fingerings.
Yes.
Now, was Bugard playing Albert?
I played my BEM system.
Oh, and he played Albert.
And he played Albert.
Mm-hmm. How did that work together? Do those systems
as I recall, it was satisfactory. He played. I mean, look, I was playing with the cream of the crop,
Absolutely.
And we were all up there. Chuck Travis was up there with his saxophone. We all got a chance to play. Everybody, and the man that ran these jam sessions was Slim Gaylord.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Slim and Bam were there doing their shtick, and they'd let us come up and play. And the times that we played all these joints and played a little bit of jazz, like with Chuck Travis, it was two tenors. We played Cottontail, Apple Honey, Willie Herman's Apple Honey, the usual standards, and then Chuck would take a couple choruses. I'd put my tenor down. And
when
then
you say
I'd
standards, it sounds like swing standards.
Yeah, this was a swing band. I hadn't gotten into the Dixieland bands. I got into the Dixieland bands in 1949 with Jack Sheedy. See, as a kid, I was listening to Benny Goodman with one ear, and with the other ear, I was listening to Bonnie Bogart and Sidney Bechet.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I come from in a kind of, just like Bob Wilbur.
Mm-hmm. I know Bob.
Same thing. Same identical thing, only I'm no Bob Wilbur. You know, I have my thing, whatever I do, you know, but I'm not a Bob Wilbur. I don't worry about that. But we played riffs, and people came to hear us.
I first met you, Vince, when you were playing with Jimmy Diamond. And that was when I first got a chance to hear you and record you.
Yeah.
But when did you first meet Jimmy?
All right. Well, I first met Jimmy, this was in 1962. And the incident came about that I was playing at Pier 23, and this couple came in and they said, we're going to have a party, and we're going to have Jimmy Diamond's society band, but we want you to play in that band. We want you to do something. So they said, call Jimmy Diamond and tell him that you got to be hired to just do something. So here was this 15-piece band, and Jimmy Diamond called him up, and I said, Jim, my name is Vince Catalica. Well, I know who you are, you know, because, you know, people had heard of me from time to time. Mm-hmm. And I told him that Pat Michaels wants me to play in your band, so you got to hire me. And he said, okay. He said, we'll find something for you to do. So I noodled around in a 15-piece band, and after that he hired me for various jobs.
That sounds like it was more of a big band or a swing band.
Oh, it was kind of a society band. So mm-hmm. The things I did were a couple of medleys, and I played just with him in the rhythm section. I can even remember I played about four choruses of Indiana, and we were out. I don't remember exactly how much I got paid. I think scale then was about $50 for 4 hours.
But then you went on to play with Jimmy for several years in a slightly different context.
Oh, sure. We went on to Casuals. And what we did is after I played that one job, he hired me for different small groups and society jobs. And there was some jazz played. I never had to play any tenor or alto, just clarinet. But what happened was in 1972, this man by the name of Buddy Powers, he's gone now. Young kid. Well, he was a young kid. Yeah. He convinced the owner and manager of the Fairmont Hotel to bring this type of band, six pieces, on every Monday night starting in September of that year, 1972. It just took off. It just went bananas. We were playing there every Monday night.
Is that the New Orleans room?
This is the New Orleans room. And by the first week of December, we were playing there five nights a week. And we packed the place. It was just a great job. But I was the clarinet player there for 10 years. And I'm kind of proud of that because we did pack that room with local and, as you know, tons of tourists.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Butson played trombone.
Yeah, why don't you say a word about Jerry? He passed away, what, about?
Around Christmas time of 84, and he was an excellent trombone player. I like to describe him that if you could throw 1,000 $1 bills and say to him, play 1,000 choruses, one chorus of every song you know, and I'll give you $1. And he would play the $1,000 out of your hand.
He was a much loved musician, I guess.
Oh, he was just beautiful.
Jerry Butson on the old Green River.
Are you ready for this, Vince?
Anything, Jim.
Stepping up to the mic is lovely Vince Kataka.
Jimmy Diamond's Knob Hill Gang, recorded live in San Francisco in about 1983-84 by yours truly, Dave Radlauer. And I'm saluting Vince Catolica on Jazz Rhythm, Jumping Swing, Classic Blues, and Hot Jazz, Old and New. That's a lot of fun. Vince playing some hokum novelty clarinet on Alley Cat. I'm sorry, I apologize that trombonist Jerry Butson's vocal was a little hard to hear on Old Green River. Also in that band were leader Jimmy Diamond on piano, cornet player Bob Schultz, one of the best on the West Coast, and the excellent drummer John Markham, who played with everyone from Benny Goodman to Peggy Lee. Promotional support for Jazz Rhythm comes from the Mississippi Rag, a monthly publication offering traditional jazz and ragtime interviews, history, photos, reviews, and current events. Details at MississippiRag.com. The Jazz Rhythm website is jazzhot.bigstep.com. Thank you. I interviewed Vince in 1994 as he was retiring from 50 years in the music business. Some of his friends and colleagues helped me pull together some of these rare gems you're hearing this hour. And one outstanding contribution came from musicians working with singer LaVey Smith, with whom Vince was working in the early 90s, and particularly thanks to piano player Chris Siebert and guitarist Charlie Siebert. They had done a really nice private session featuring Vince with a nice little swing rhythm section that they called the Molasses Brothers. And though never released, they gave me these tracks for this salute to Vince Catalica, including the luscious Ellington and Johnny Hodges composition, I'm in Another World.